A back-and-forth slugfest between the Red Sox and the Yankees ultimately ended with New York winning the series opener in 10 innings on Tuesday night.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Nessun's Lauren Willand, and we're going to recap the 7-6, 10-inning loss. There was also a roster move that Red Sox fans probably are happy about. This happened after Tuesday night's game. We're going to look into some of the comments from Chaim Bloom that he said prior to Tuesday's game on Nessun's pregame coverage regarding the future of Xander Bogaerts, little Nate Eovaldi update, and talk some Tristan Casas because he got his first taste of the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry on Tuesday. He did hit his first home run at Fenway Park, but it just wasn't enough. There was a lot of home runs in this game. Aaron Judge hit two home runs. He's now at 57 on the season. He's very close to 60, and he's going to get it very, very soon. Gleyber Torres hit the bases-clearing double in the 10th inning that ultimately made all the difference. But the Red Sox did show some life in the bottom half of the 10th. They made it a one-run game, and it was thinking, you're sitting there thinking like, oh, here's Rafael Devers up the plate. This is the perfect script written for a walk-off, a mid-September walk-off against the Yankees. And even though there aren't a lot of postseason implications for the Red Sox in a game like this against the Yankees, you still want to beat them. It's always fun when these two teams get together, but Rafael Devers struck out to end the game to send fans home disappointed. Tristan Casas, though, did get his first homer at Fenway Park, and he got all of it. He certainly did. It was a 411-foot blast to opposite field, and it marked the longest opposite field home run hit at Fenway Park since 2019. But Casas wasn't even trying to hit a home run off Gerrit Cole. He told reporters after the game that he was just looking to drive Rafael Devers home, who was on third at the time, but Gerrit Cole threw him a 97-mile-per-hour fastball up in the zone, and Casas connected. And like I said, certainly got all of it. It left his bat at 108.6 miles per hour, so that just goes to show the power this kid has. He's just seeing the ball very well. He also walked against Cole, and he stole a base, so he did have a successful first Red Sox-Yankees game. The outcome itself just was not what Casas wanted, what Red Sox fans wanted. But he said of his home run that he was just trying to stay short. I knew I didn't need to do much. I was just trying to get that run in. I was just trying to stay on top of the ball, hit a single. So I might try to apply that approach more often. But obviously, great pitcher. I wasn't trying to do that. I just put a good swing on it. Yeah, he did. I think that's the perfect way to just kind of describe his home run. Really good swing against a good pitcher, but a pitcher who has struggled at Fenway, a pitcher who has struggled against the Red Sox, and a pitcher that Rafael Devers loves hitting against. Maybe Casas now can join Devers and just loving to hit off Gerrit Cole. Casas also said that he enjoyed the Red Sox-Yankees game despite the loss. He did say it's tough that the Red Sox came up short, but overall, it was pretty awesome to be part of that environment and to be part of this rivalry. He said it was a tight game back and forth, lots of homers. But with two pitchers like that, it's hard to string hits together. So the long ball wasn't played today. We just came up short. There was a lot of home runs. This was a slugfest. You had Reese McGuire, who hit his first home run in a Red Sox uniform. You had Xander Bogaerts, who we will talk about in the second segment of Locked On Red Sox. He had a home run as well. Like I said, Aaron Judge had two home runs. But this 10th inning, it was just a mess for the Red Sox. Great if you were a Yankees fan, but Alex Cora decided to go to Jervis Familia in the 10th inning. It was a 4-4 game, and you're probably thinking, oh, Lord, why? And he hasn't been very good for the Red Sox this season, and that trend did not stop Tuesday. He ultimately gave up the winning hit to the Yankees. It was a very costly relief appearance for a number of reasons. He allowed 3 runs, 2 earned off one hit, which was that 3 RBI double from Gleyber Torres. He also gave up 2 walks. And again, this we've said this so many times on here on Locked On Red Sox that this bullpen is so unreliable. There's no steady arms in that bullpen. And it just goes back to Chaim Bloom not being able to get the proper help for Alex Cora, not getting the proper help for this team. So they don't have somebody to go to in a situation when it's a 4-4 game. You did have Garrett Whitlock in there, but Aaron Judge does Aaron Judge things. But you just look at this bullpen. You went to Ryan Brazier. You go to Familia. And it's just there's no one in there that makes Red Sox fans feel, oh, okay, like this is a good idea to bring him in a 4-4 game against against your longstanding rival. So once again, this bullpen just showed that it is just not capable of getting out of jams, not capable of getting out of an inning unscathed. This is a totally different game if Familia doesn't go in, if Gleyber Torres does not happen. But after the game, Familia told reporters that he was DFA'd. So that probably will make Red Sox fans happy. And I mentioned that he was not good during his time with the Red Sox. He had 10 appearances. He went 1-2 with a 6.10 ERA, 1.65 whip. For someone who led the majors in saves in 2016, he just doesn't look the same. And obviously that was a long time ago. That was 6 years ago. No one's the same pitcher that they were. But you'd think there would be some sort of glimpse of that pitcher that was. You don't think he'd be this bad, even though recently he has shown that he has not been good, not just with the Red Sox, but the last few years as a whole. But during those 10 appearances, Familia gave up 7 earned runs, 8 walks, 10 hits over 10 in the third innings. So like I said, Red Sox fans are probably happy he's gone. It doesn't really matter at this point in the season because the Red Sox are so far out of the postseason picture that you just kind of look at it and like, let's just get through this season. Let's get through this season at or above 500. Let's just kind of get rid of the dead weight here and the fat that we don't need on this team and just try to end the season on a high note. And you weren't going to do that with Familia. I think it was just a matter of time before he was DFA'd. He just never found a groove. He did say after the game as well that he plans to go back home, just work, try to work things out and be ready for next season. Will a team take a flyer on him? Who knows? At one point in his career, he was a dominant pitcher. Maybe you could link that to some things he's done in the past, but this was kind of a tryout for Familia, whether that was to remain with the Red Sox or work his way to another team next season, did not do himself any favors. But he is no longer part of the Red Sox. I can't imagine that someone will claim him from waivers, so he'll probably be passed up by the other teams in MLB. But right now, he's just not the Red Sox problem. Fans don't have to watch him come into games anymore, and that's something for them to be happy about. And there's not a whole lot of things for Red Sox fans to be happy about. The season is coming to an end. Very disappointing season. There are so many questions going into this offseason, including the future of Nate Eovaldi, Xander Bogaerts. Obviously, Xander Bogaerts is the big name going into the offseason. Chaim Bloom spoke to NESN's Tom Karen on NESN's pregame coverage prior to Tuesday's game. We will look at his comments and kind of dive into those in our second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. But first, I want to tell you about Blue Chew because summer's winding down. It was 50 degrees this morning. The nights are longer, but the breeze isn't the only thing that's getting stiff. That's right. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life. That's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, but in a chewable tablet and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready when an opportunity arises. The best part? It's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package. They always say first impressions are important, but what about lasting impressions? It's time to get off the couch, get back to work. If your tool needs an upgrade, head to bluechew.com. They say there's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help you give you the confidence when it counts. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free. When you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout, you just pay the $5 for the shipping. That is it. That's bluechew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. So all eyes are on Xander Bogaerts, not because he's in the AL batting title race, but because he could opt out of his contract at the end of this season. We all expect him to do that. He took an incredibly team-friendly deal, and now is his time to be able to opt out, test that free agent market, which he certainly has earned. But it's on the Red Sox to make sure that he does not go anywhere, that he remains in a Red Sox uniform long-term, preferably for the rest of his career. We all know the song and dance. There's been no contract talks really throughout the season. Scott Boras, his agent, has said no contract talks in the season. Bogaerts said he'd be open to it. A little conflict there, but at the end of the day, September 14th, there's still no deal for Xander Bogaerts. That's okay because I want him to focus on the rest of the season. Try to get that AL batting title because if he's having a down season as much as he has been in terms of power, in terms of health, and he is right there for that AL batting title. And this is not obviously an award that is given to somebody because of votes. It's because of how they performed in the season. It is stat driven. This is somebody you want on your team. He's the unofficial captain of this Red Sox team. So Chaim Bloom, all eyes on Chaim Bloom. And this is his biggest, this is a really make or break offseason. And next year will be make or break for Chaim Bloom as well. But prior to Tuesday's game, he joined the Nesson pregame guys, and he was talking, obviously was talking about Bogaerts, and he said, look, every situation is different. They're all unique. This one is especially unique because of what Xander means to this organization, to the region, to us. I haven't known him as long as some have, but you don't have to be around for very long to know he's special. So every situation is a little different, but obviously as we start getting into the meat of the offseason, planning as a front office, start talking about things with each other, with ownership, as we get closer to the end with the staff, we obviously want to respect the preparation that goes into competing every day. We're going to get into all of that, and every situation is unique, but this is going to be front of mind for us, to say the least. Now that hopefully puts Red Sox fans maybe a little bit at ease. Obviously actions speak louder than words. We're not going to believe any of this until pen to paper, we see the Red Sox Twitter account make the official announcement that Bogaerts has signed an extension. I think that Bogaerts absolutely needs to be front of mind because he is somebody that is a leader on this team. People respect him. People love him. Rafael Devers, that's his quote unquote older brother. Alex Cora loves him. The fans love him. And I think at the end of the day, are there better defensive shortstops out there? Yes, but you can't replace what he brings to this team. We saw when David Ortiz left the Red Sox, or when he retired and left the Red Sox. Very different situation there. But people were sad in that clubhouse because they didn't have that leadership. They didn't have that big voice. And even though Bogaerts isn't literally as big as David Ortiz, his impact on this team is so important. Not just to veteran players, but to younger players, to Alex Cora. And if Chaim Bloom messes this up, I don't think he lasts much longer in the front office for the Red Sox. I think that Bogaerts, he said it's going to be the front of mind. It 100% needs to be. He really needs to take action on this and show fans that, hey, we do care about you. We do care about our talent. We do care about our players. And we want people to be here for a long time. Chaim Bloom reportedly promised Kike Hernandez a better team in 2023. And unless they have something crazy up their sleeves, getting rid of Bogaerts does not make this team better. You know, we saw at the trade deadline that we thought the Red Sox had a plan. We thought Chaim Bloom was going in a direction, looked like they were going to be sellers, and it just seems like Chaim Bloom panicked. Yes, Tommy Pham, Reese McGuire, they've worked out right now, but there was no real direction that where the team went. And if you do not sign Bogaerts, if you cannot come to terms, it's not going to go over well. That's going to be a huge red mark on Chaim Bloom's tenure here in Boston, and he doesn't have a real good one right now. I think fans are really putting him under the microscope, and again, he should be. This is one of his bigger things right here. We all knew Mookie was going to get traded, so I'm willing to kind of give him a small pass on that, because this was going to happen whether it was Chaim Bloom, whether it was Dave Dombrowski. That was probably going to happen no matter what. But now you have the opportunity here to gain fans' trust back, to show that we do care about the fans. We do want good players here for a long period of time. And if they truly do, they will sign Xander Bogaerts to a long-term deal. And then there's Nate Eovaldi. He is on an expiring contract, and he said on Tuesday that he has not had any contract extension talks with the Red Sox. He's unclear if his agency has had talks with the team. And this has kind of been the whole thing all season. We knew that Eovaldi had not had talks with the Red Sox. He said that a few times this season. And going into next season, I I don't think you bring him back. I love what he's done to this team. I love what he's brought to this team. 2018, I think he will forever be in debt to Nate Eovaldi for what he did in the World Series. But 32 years old, he's going into a season where he's still dealing with some injuries. While I still think he can be a valuable pitcher, I just think the Red Sox need to move on. They need to really focus on A, signing Bogarts, B, fixing that bullpen, and C, signing Jake DeGrom. No, I'm just kidding. As much as I would love Jake DeGrom in a Red Sox uniform, I just don't think the Red Sox can afford him when he ultimately opts out of his Mets contract at the end of the season. But we can speculate and have fun in the offseason, play a little what if. But Eovaldi is dealing with a shoulder injury right now. He did throw live BP at Fenway on Tuesday. He's only made 18 appearances for the Red Sox this year. This is his lowest that he's made aside from 12 in 2018, but he was traded to the Red Sox, so obviously he's not going to make a ton of appearances when you get traded somewhere. But he's almost at 100 innings this year. He's at 99 and two-thirds innings. He's 5-3 with a 4.15 ERA. He's allowed the second most home runs in his career, and he has struck out 96 batters this season. Like I said, I love what he's done for this team during his time with the Red Sox. I just don't think it's worth bringing him back when you have bigger question marks, when you have Brian Bay already. Chris Sale figures to be healthy. We could make an argument there, but Chris Sale still is under contract, so not a lot of wiggle room there. I don't think Red Sox fans would be heartbroken if Eovaldi does not come back. Eovaldi was an integral part to this team, especially in 2018, especially in the World Series against the Dodgers. But unfortunately, I do think it's time to move on from him, focus on the future, and focus on that darn bullpen. We have one more segment here on the Locked On Red Sox podcast. As always, we'll end the show on the Mental Health Minute. So this Mental Health Minute, I just wanted to remind everyone to not burn bridges professionally. You shouldn't burn bridges at all, but may the bridges I burn light my way, right? So you never know when someone professionally from your network, a previous network, could come in and help you, even if you didn't have the best relationship in your professional work life. But you never want to burn that bridge, as much as you may want to, as much as you may have felt disrespected by someone. Don't burn that bridge. And my husband learned that on Tuesday. He had someone reach out to him at the advice of a former colleague that he didn't always see eye to eye with. And even though their work relationship was tumultuous, he still came through for my husband 2 years, 3 years later. And it's something that made me think, like, this is why you don't burn bridges. Even if you don't get along with someone, you don't always see eye to eye. Maybe 9 times out of 10, your relationship is rocky. Not because of disrespect or anything, but just because of other things that are going on at work that you want to do it one way, another one wants to do it another way, and it can go on and on. But at the end of the day, not burning this bridge really worked out in the favor of my husband. I'm really excited for what's to come for him, and this may not have happened had he burned that bridge. So just a gentle reminder, don't burn bridges. You never know when that person could come back and truly help you in your career. That will do it for today's episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. Wherever you get your podcast is where you can find us. Be sure to check out all the other shows across the Locked On Network. Locked On Yankees, Locked On Astros. Everyone does such a great job here at Locked On, bringing you baseball content Monday through Friday. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_RedSox, Jake at Jake Iggy. He will be back this week. And me, La 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 Lauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, head on over to Locked On MLB to make it listen number two. Friend of the pod, friend of mine, Paul Francis Sullivan, just call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective. He brings you humor. He brings you all the latest news and notes of major leaguers, and this he brings you his perspective on major leaguers both past and present. It is a must listen. You do not want to miss it. It's right here on YouTube, on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you soon, and as always, let's go Red Sox.